Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus Potter, by Gojira 126, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Michael Crichton and J.K. Rowling. Chapter 19. Harry Potter growled deeply in his throat as he pulled a fish out of the large pond, as he and Bellatrix traveled towards where the smell of Kong was strongest. The pair of carnivores had avoided talking through most of the trip, as it was easier to be in relative silence than actually speak of what had happened. They left behind the group of simians, Harry having mixed feelings about that still. Leaving that behind them, they had re-entered the jungles to be attacked by an amphitheater. This creature would be named the Viper Wasp Dragon, an amphitheater that took the trait of both the viper and the wasp into its body. Its wings were similar to wasp wings on its arms. Its head was that of a viper with a frill and two wasp-like antennae on its head. Its long, segmented body ended in a large stinger, filled with paralytic agents so it could stab a threat or prey item. Being massive, as the two of them were, the viper wasp hissed before it fled into the jungle. It was at least 35 feet long from what Harry saw, and its orange-yellow color scheme gave off the vibe of dangerous. The pair continued onwards before Bella finally stopped and looked at them.
"We need to talk about you nearly going for the king's throat."
Harry stopped and growled darkly.
"And why should we?"
Bella used her snout to slap his own, surprising him.
"Because you let your emotions take over,"
Harry snarled, baring his teeth.
"He took my mother,"
Bella hissed.
"And do you think that he ate her? Allowed the wildlife to devour her? Kong is the balancer of this island. He takes those women that are sacrificed to him to the iwi. Or are you just mad at yourself for failing to tear out his heart and get left behind?"
Harry, flat-footed, fell silent as he looked at the ground. He felt shame, utter shame, at her words, as she was right. He was putting his anger and guilt onto the animal that kept his mother alive, taking her to the other side of the island. He let out a pitiful noise before Bella nuzzled his snout.
"Better to face of facts than wallow in self-created hate and fury."
Bella walked away, Harry following after Bellatrix as he sighed to himself. He would simply hold his mother when he saw her face. Then he would let this false grudge go. Chell smirked as she used her staff to put Sirius Black on his ass once again, getting chuckles from both Lily and her husband. The rest of James's rescue crew were studying the animals, talking with the people with translator runes, and the rest having headed to the nearby base that was located a couple miles away from the cliffside beaches. With some help from the village, there was an area where the helicopters could land and take off. She was also able to see the massive ship called an aircraft carrier off the coast, before she pointed out the creatures that lived in the Arrecife de Muertes. Translated from Spanish to mean Reef of Death, a fitting name when a ton of new life was now coming out of the coral works. Massive turtles that had changed into following the body plan of the plesiosaur, despite looking like leatherback sea turtles, were actually snapping turtles. Massive snapping turtles with teeth and attitudes that made them something even predators avoided due to the mouth. Ancient placodermi were swimming in the reefs as evolved predators like Dunkleosteus primus prowled the open depths. Chell was in shock from all the creatures that actually inhabited the reef, as it was so gigantic and thrived on magic. She had seen the baby reptilian on the beach playing with rocks and kicking them around before its parent called. The spirit of the reef, the iwi called the parent, was nicknamed Ogra, while the baby was Gorgo. She was also amused as a massive sea dragon was discovered, looking at the book she was given. It had similarities to the Asian dragons. The iwi called its kind Manda Teri, meaning sea reef skull dragon in their tongue. Their long serpentine bodies slithered through the water in waves as they hunted the placodermi populations from going overboard. At least they kept her from getting attacked by the sand hydrosaur, a massive monster that had around 5 heads and hunted anything that it could coil and bite to death. Being bitten to death was even more dangerous, as the mouth was like that of a Komodo dragon, filled with dangerous bacteria and other things that would kill a living being. She pointed out the flying dragons, simply called cliff dragons, flying over the waves before swooping back to their large caverns in the cliff walls. Biodiversity was evident in everything. Magic was singing the song of life as it danced invisible in the air. However, her days of learning about the animals that she had grown up knowing came to a stop when Sirius asked her for a duel. And that was why she was here, grinning like a loon as Sirius got into a sitting position. "You done sitting around, Padfoot?" James laughed before Sirius went to his feet, hands shifting on the staff.
"You do know why Dorea loved me more, Prongs?"
Sirius asked, smirking as he spun the staff around himself like it was some sword.
"I actually took my sword lesson seriously, even when my demon of a mother and a plague of a father got me a tutor. It also helped that I got competent instructors, learning the sophisticated way of swordplay, but also the muggle way, as they put it."
Sirius came onto her with a downward slash that rattled her staff and her arm, the blow creaking the wood as the older man grinned.
"Even after that I've practiced," he said, his skill easily showing as he kept thrashing Chell around.
It was only by her own skill that Chell kept a hold of her training staff.
"Still got me ass kicked by Dorea, though."
James nodded somberly.
"And you would have beaten her if it wasn't for the war."
Sirius paused, Chell taking the moment to get her lungs full of air before Sirius disarmed her in a twisting arm motion. He put the blade to her neck before pulling it away, smiling sadly.
"You like your spears too much, making it hard to defend yourself from another style," Sirius said before a warning went up all over the village.
Chell ran out of the training area, only to see a spine rising out of the river before standing up on two legs. A long-thought extinct predator roaring into the sky as another form followed. White scales shimmered in the sunlight before it too roared. Then Lily was running, and she jumped into the water. The Spinosaurus caught her before it carried her back to shore. Upon stepping on the bank, it shifted from dinosaur to human. The boy was hugging Lily tightly as she murmured into his hair, as the other dinosaur stepped onto dry land. It too shifted from dinosaur to human, a beautiful woman that caused Sirius Black to choke.
"Bellatrix!"
Sirius spluttered before the woman looked at him, a cruel smile on her lips.
"Hello, little cousin,"
Bellatrix smirked at him.
"You've grown up decently."
Sirius passed out right then, his brain having been given too much information to handle anything else. Across the pond, in the place known as Prince Manor, Narcissa Prince, née Black, was receiving an owl letter. She took it, finding the letter to have the seal of the Black family pressed into the wax. Frowning as she slowly opened the letter, Narcissa read the first few lines in astonishment as it was Sirius's handwriting.
"Hello, Sissa. Been a while. But I have some news that will affect the Black household for years to come. Bellatrix Stella Black has been found. She's alive."
Her heart felt like someone had gripped it in cold, skeletal hands, fear trying to squeeze out the hope that her cousin was trying to send. The fear shattered as something else entered her mind, the feeling that she thought lost when the sisters Black had been turned into a duo from Bella's vanishing. Andromeda had been blasted off the tree until Sirius brought her back, in return blasting both his mother and father off the tree. Magic had a toll. The toll was paid in every sense. She quickly pulled out her wand and tapped it on the table, words breathlessly coming in a whisper. A tapestry appeared, showing that Bellatrix herself and Andromeda were together under the burn holes that had been their parents. She felt a tear go down her face before slashing her wand across the tapestry, ending the magic as it turned to dust. She stood, ready to leave when she felt the wards ping. Severus only allowed her to handle the wards in his absence, and magic burned down her spine. Something dark was being brought into the manor. So as Lady of the House, she marched to where the ping was felt. What she found was several escaped Death Eaters that fled the country, ones that threatened to use her like some common whore behind Severus's back. That had been in the past, as she had lived with Severus during the war. She even helped him remove that horrendous mark off his body. Now, those followers of a half-blood, these rapists and warmongers, entered this house like they owned it. These same scum that made her black blood howl with disgust and rage a spell rising to her lips before the group even saw her. Black flames lashed out, soul-consuming fires that were as intelligent as herself. The men screamed as they burned, turning into nothing but ash that covered their robes and masks. She called her personal house elf, Tapsy, to her side.
"Remove this mess. All dark objects are to be put in the fireplace, where the runes hold back the fiend fire."
"Yes, mistress."
With a pop, the elf vanished to do her duty. Narcissa gritted her teeth before walking to the fireplace to head to where her sister was. Traveling through the flu network was such untidy business. At the castle of Hogwarts, Phileas Flitwick was busy reading the latest on the world news. The diminutive professor of charms and duelist of a century smirked at the article that gave 15 dangerous uses of the tickling charm. Flitwick could easily imagine 80, but he never used them, as his honor wouldn't allow him to insult his opponents unless they absolutely deserved it. The half-goblin was busy wrapping up the paper when something caught his eye. It was a small paragraph, nothing notable to anyone that didn't notice. This paragraph did hold his attention for what it stated.
"Potters make massive discoveries in the Pacific Ocean. In the last few months, it has come to the attention of those in the know that the Potters have gotten themselves a couple of islands. Upon these islands are surviving examples of creatures from Earth's distant past. While rumor would have it that these impossible animals are the result of some muggle variation of alchemy, the massive ley line on a nearby island would seem a much more likely cause. Questions abound, and this reporter is going to answer them."
Flitwick pondered that before getting out a quill to write a note to Minerva about going on a little trip to visit his most promising student. He wanted to see if this place was actually as magical as the paper said. For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Gogeta 126. Music from Jurassic Park for the Nintendo Game Boy, gratefully used by permission of composer John Dunn. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server where you can attend live recordings of all of my ongoing projects, and various ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.